Hi, I'm David and welcome to the Deosaurus Rex podcast, where we interview data visualization experts and get to know them and their data visits a little bit better. By the end, you should learn some new skills and get inspired to enhance your own data viz game. Today's guest is Jeffrey Schaefer, who's a renowned Tableau Zen master, been part of the community for years, and has made some incredible data visualizations, which we're going to see one of, but we'll link to his gallery down below later, so you can also check out all of his other amazing stuff. Welcome, Jeffrey.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Thank you. So for those of you who are new to the podcast, we pick one outstanding viz and we'll go through it. So Jeffrey will kind of give us an insight into how it's been made and his approach to making it. And then in the second half, we're going to get to rapid fire questions where we just throw a few questions and see what answers we get in a quick way. It's a great way to learn about the creator as well, not just about the viz, because I find everyone who we interview is super inspiring. And finally, those of you who are listening on the audio podcast, if you want links to the videos or any of the vizzes we are going to discuss, they'll be included in the show notes or the descriptions below. And as we interview, I'm going to be exploring the viz and playing around whilst Jeffrey talks about it. Okay, so today's viz is looking at rankings of American states, but it's got a twist because it has a Sankey diagram to show how each state has gone up or down, and it's really beautiful. And this is often a chart which isn't built in. Well, this isn't a default chart to Tableau, if I'm correct. I'm keen to explore it and see how you've gone about building this, which leads me on to my first question. What is the inspiration you've had to make this viz?
Yeah, so this came about from just a random post on Twitter. It was Andy Kriebel who saw this viz in a report. It comes from the State of American Rankings, and every year they publish a similar report. And this one was published, I think, using up to 2013 data. They published in early 2014. And it might have been Andy does these data viz done right or a series or whatever it was at the time. But anyway, he posted this viz on Twitter and it caught my attention. And I wondered if I could do that in Tableau. So I recreated that chart in Tableau.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm looking at it now because you've included the original viz in your Tableau public workbook. And yeah, I can see the, it's probably just like a static image on Photoshop or Illustrator, but you've really made it come to life because I'm exploring it now and I'm like clicking and drawing out the states I care about, and you can kind of draw focus. So that's amazing. Yeah. So you kind of took up the challenge. You're like, can I do this in Tableau?
Yeah. So what really what transpired? You're right. It is a static image in a PDF document, and the curvy line is what gets your attention, right? It's not really a Sankey. I guess it's really just a slope graph, but it's that curvy S-shaped line that's different because it's easy to do a straight line in Tableau, but trying to get that curvy S-shaped line. And so I took a data mining class, and in, I don't know, data mining one or data mining two, we were doing some machine learning things. And in that class, you use, when you're doing machine learning, you often use a transformation function, a sigmoid function. And so that is an S-shaped curve. And so it just dawned on me, hey, I could just apply this sigmoid function in Tableau to get that line to, start curving. And that worked really well. Now, there was a couple tricks to try to get that to do that. But ultimately, that was the magic to get the shape of the curve.
Ah, I see how you do that. So this isn't actually just two lines which bend. I'm just hovering the mouse over. It's loads of smaller interconnected points.
That's exactly right. And so, and that's one of the questions I get a lot is why are there 49 points? Well, there was no magic in that. There had to be some kind of increment between, for the sigmoid function, I needed to go from -6 to +6 across the X axis. And there really was no magic in it other than I needed enough points to draw a curvy line. If I had 12 points, the line wasn't curvy enough. And if I had 100 points, it seemed like, well, I'm really going to blow out my data. So, that's how I ended up at 49 points.
No, that's a good healthy number, and the curves look really nice and smooth. And I think you're right. Anything above would probably be overkill, and maybe make Tableau struggle slightly if it's got like 1,000 points per state or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, exciting. No, that's great inspiration. I love that. Like, people see a challenge, they don't shy away, and then I'm confident you've learned a ton about it, which I think we're going to learn. So that's great. So you mentioned you've got into like data mining to get this. So the next question is, how did you go about collecting the data? Was it like in a really poor state or on a website which wasn't that conducive to getting it? So could you guide us through how you got it?
Yeah, well, with this particular viz, it's really just a ranking of states. And so as best I can recall, I think I just entered this data. I think I just hand keyed it just because it was in a PDF document. By the time at that point, Tableau didn't have any way to, read PDFs. It's even as a PDF, I think it's an image. It's not really a table in there, if I recall. So I think the only place to get the data was from that chart itself. I think I just hand keyed that data to recreate it.
That's fair enough. And that makes sense. I guess if I'm making the correct assumptions, if there's 52 states, two rankings, there's only like 100 and sort of four data points you got to enter. I guess, any time investment above that to like automate that probably wouldn't pay off. So
yeah.
No, that's smart. I guess, sometimes the simplest solution is the best, I guess, when you look at it.
And knowing myself, I probably went to the Superstore data and got a list of states and copy and pasted them into Excel and, and just put the rankings in or something.
Cool. That's smart. Yeah, actually saves you having to type out Hawaii, Colorado and all that. So, that's smart. That's smart. I like that. It's saving even more time. Okay, cool. That's brilliant. And I love that like such a simple data set can create such a beautiful and engaging viz too. It doesn't always, you don't always have to have hundreds of thousands of rows to make a good viz, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. So the fun part with that is then it kind of took on a life of its own. It was the first time that curvy lines like that, at least, sand key style lines were used in Tableau. And so the community really started jumping on board. This was, I think that chart was March of 2014. And then Olivier Catherine from France made a polygon version where, and I had done some iterations. Somebody asked, I think it was on the forum, somebody asked, well, could you use that technique to make a real sand key? And so I did. I created a financial sand key, and I did one on energy that was really popular where I visualized my my energy bill. And that's more of a true sand key where it's actually showing the flow from one to the other. But as you pointed out, I'm using 49 points, and then I was using individual lines. Let's just say, I'm moving from 40% to 30%. I would have 40 lines, one for each percent. And so what Olivier figured out is that you could avoid that. You could do it as a polygon. And so he did the min of the line and the max of the line. And so if you had 40% of something, he didn't draw 40 lines. He would just draw two lines, and then he would connect them with these polygon points. And so that was a really cool technique. And then the other thing that came out of this that was really fun was Chris Love. I was joining data. Originally, I just did it in Excel. And then later, I joined, sort of with a link to blow out the 49 points. I would kind of link up and do a join with the data. Chris Love did it with data densification, something that Joe Mako, pioneered way back in the day. So he would just take two rows of data into Tableau and use binning to pad that out and create, the 49 points with data densification without joining inside of the data. And that's a great technique as well. And so he did that about a year later in 2015.
Wow, that's awesome. And I believe we're going to, in the show notes in the description below, we're going to link to all those evolutions, I guess, but that's great if anyone's curious. But I love this though. So one small request turned into what you made and then kind of sparked this evolution of different ways of approaching this. That's really fascinating.
Yeah. And then, the latest evolutions, Christy Martini did something that I really should have done long earlier, which is he changed the math, right? And so that's one of the blog posts I'm working on right now, and hopefully published by the time this podcast comes out, which is why I use the sigmoid and why you shouldn't. It worked really, really well when I was doing the State of America rankings because it's just a thin line, and you're using the size mark to change the size of the line. And so the evenness of the line is even all the way across. But when you're making a sand key with flow, the problem with the sigmoid function is in the middle, it kind of gets thin. So it starts out fat, you know, like 40%, and then the line gets real thin and then gets thick again. Mm. And so Chris changed the math formulas up, and it's something I played with early on. I tried an inverse tangent and some other functions in Tableau. But for the same key, I really should have just used a sine function, because the sine function just looks so much better. The lines stay thick as they go across versus the sigmoid function. It gets real thin.
Yeah, no, I didn't even realize that. Yeah, the thickness of the lines here is pretty consistent and even. And it's like, or at least that's what I can see. Yeah, it's like, I didn't even think of that. Yeah, because I guess with the way the math works, it would lead to those distortions if we're not factoring those in. So
yeah, and so doing pretty lines like on a bump chart or on a slope graph or something like that, the sigmoid function works great. But when you're really doing a true sand key with a flow diagram, you know, you really want to keep the flows, you know, the size of the flow or as close to them as you can get them. So that's one regret I had. And so I've tried to fix that. Actually, Ken Flairledge recently published 6 templates for sand keys so that people don't have to try to rebuild these. They can just bring in their data, connect to his workbook, and, you know, the sand key sort of magically appears. And he's got some great, great templates that everybody should check out. So what I did and what I'm going to publish on my Tableau public page is his template, where I changed the math for the curves, you know, doing basically what Chris DeMartini did, which is, you know, you can change the math on there to be a sigmoid function and be a sine function instead.
Wow, that's amazing. And yeah, totally. As soon as you get that link, let me know and I'll embed it in the notes below and definitely share that. I can't wait to see that. That's going to be exciting. Yeah. Cause for me, I'll be honest with everyone in the audience, I've always seen these Sankey diagrams and it just eluded me. I kind of get the general concept, but I'm more of a person who learns by doing. And so it's really exciting to hear that these templates exist, but also with your blog post, because I'll be able to play around, break it apart, but then also be able to learn from what you've written too, to actually get my head around it if I ever want to innovate or put a variation of my own. So, but that's the really good thing about the Dataviz community and people like yourself. You just kind of, you don't hoard it. You're not I know how to do Sankeys. Everyone else go away. You're more than happy to share and give back. And it's led to this amazing evolution where you've learned stuff too. It's it kind of comes back full circle. So
that's a great thing about this community, because I think if we hoard information like that, you know, just think about that. If I would have built that Sankey, not done a blog post and, or not made my viz downloadable, or not written up the instructions, I don't know that I would have thought of using polygons. I don't know that I would have done data densification. And so it's gotten better and better and better because the community as a whole, thinks about these things, and then you pick up on that and then you use it. And then the next thing you know, we have these templates that everybody can use. And it's, that's the great thing about the community.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. So no, thank you for being a big part of that. It's appreciated. We've already covered part of the technical reason or technical approach you've had for the creation of this viz. And we've already talked about how you've tried to replicate what you've seen. But was there any other way or any other things we're missing on how you approached the creation of this viz? Because I see you also had to potentially compensate for color shading and stuff as they change ranks. And you've built in extra functionality to make the viz good.
In the State of America ranking, I was trying to emulate the original as best I could. One of the tools, and Tableau has a color pick tool built into it now, but I use this program called Color Pick, at least for PCs. It's a free tool that you can download, and it'll pick any screen color and it'll save your palettes. So I create a palette name called State of America Ranking, and then I just, use the mouse to grab all the screen colors and kind of save a palette. So that's what I did to get the colors. And then it was just really a calculation that was a moving calculation. And because there's 49 points, it was easy to calculate that if the point was above or below a certain value, a certain ranking, that I could color it. And so that was easy to do in Tableau anyway, because it was just a hard-coded calculation, above or below the value.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. There's a logic to it, but again, even when emulating a piece of work, but creating it in a different medium, you still got to think outside the box and be creative. It's not just a simple copy job. You've still got to think, how do I translate that? But I love that you've kind of, thrown all this, I guess, math and logic at it to kind of go, okay, to do this, I have to think about this and put it into the equations. That's, and I guess you probably learned quite a bit too, which is great. Yeah, I
think the more of the math came in, just trying to figure out how to implement that sigmoid function, right? It's like we think about jittering a dot plot. You know, we put this random value on the x-axis and it jitters the dots, you know, left to right. That's pretty much what we're doing in a sigmoid function. We're just creating a organized x-axis that goes from -6 to +6. If you're using a sine function, you'd go from -5, you know, half of pi, -5 to positive 1.5, -1.5 to positive 1.5. And that is really just set up so that you can plot those points, you know, as you break them across the function. And so that's really where the math comes in. You have to do a little calculation to say, okay, well, what's my starting rank? What's my ending rank? And then you have to calculate the difference between the two, because you have to know how tall your S curve is going to be. Is it going to be a straight line because it's going from rank 5 to 5, or are you going from rank 10 to 1? And so there's a difference of 9. And so you have to draw, you know, the S curve over the space of 9. So that's where the math comes in. It's just, you have to kind of calculate the difference of position 1 to position 2, and then apply that curve across this fake X axis, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, because each dot is part of the axis. But yeah, it's how you, this is clever. And I speaking of jumps, I'm looking at North Dakota. It stormed ahead. It was 19 in 2012 and it shot up to number 1 in 2013.
And I don't know how Hawaii lost its position, right? Like, yeah, Hawaii seems like the place to be.
Yeah, I would not be remiss to like want to live there if I could. So yeah, it seems beautiful. Yeah. Excellent. Okay, no, thank you for that. Okay, so next question is I guess the data itself, what insights or what was the best insight or insights you got from this? Was there anything that surprised you? Like, did your home state, has it stayed good or did it drop, go up, or anything kind of stand out for you here?
You know, what's funny about it, it's probably bad to say this, but when I'm emulating a chart like that, I'm not really thinking about the data at that point. I guess I went into technical mode and say, okay, how am I going to do this? And so I really wasn't really paying attention to the data, as if the energy sand key, for example, that was my personal data. And it didn't start, it started as a pie chart, right? And I couldn't get insight out of it the way that it was presented to me from my energy company. And so when I visualized it as a sand key, I was able to get insight out of it. I was able to see that that I spent more on that heating and cooling, heating in general, was the biggest part of my bill, because it popped to the top, right? And I could kind of really see that gas and electric heating of my house, I was spending half my utility bill on that, where that wasn't so clear. All the different components weren't really clear to me in its original visualization.
I like that. Okay, so that's better. Yeah, I guess there's nothing wrong with this trying to recreate something just for the technical challenge. I guess the data itself can be fun to dive into, but yeah, I think if you set yourself a challenge, no matter the data, you're still gonna have a good time and learn and grow. But also I love that you've applied it to that energy bill one, where because I'm not a fan when I get those from like energy companies. It's like, great, a pie chart, how does that help me? But I love that you've gone further and gone, just to spite them, I'm like, this is how it should be done. Why can't you do this? I'm a customer and I've just done it for you.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's other ways to visualize that would work well. The particular pie chart, whatever the web tool they were using, was ranking the largest to smallest wedges in sort of a fixed color. I think it was red. It starts at red. So whatever the biggest segment is, it was red. Well, when you go across these pie charts, the biggest segment on the one pie chart's heating, and then the next pie chart, it's something else. And so the colors weren't even consistent from pie chart to pie chart. And so it wasn't just the fact that it was a pie chart. It was just poorly designed all the way around. And that's what really caught my attention.
Oh man, I'm just getting a headache thinking about it. It doesn't sound good. Great. Thanks. So yeah, you've touched upon a good point there, because that is a really great creative way to solve that problem with the energy bill. But equally, what are other best practices or best use cases do you find Sankey diagrams are best suited towards? Because they can be used quite a lot, but I often, they might be used in the wrong way.
Yeah, and Chris Love has a great post on that as well, a blog post about the Sankeys. I do see a lot of good use cases for Sankey. The one I find probably the most useful is in higher education. I mean, if you break down what a Sankey really does, it shows the flow through a system, you know, starting at one point and going to the end point. And so in higher education, you have freshmen that come into college and they pick a major, and then some change majors, and then some stay on their major and some drop out. And then in their sophomore year, some stay on their major and then some move and then some drop out. And then, you know, you move to junior. And so what I find the Sankey is most useful for is just showing flow through that system. That's the original intent of a Sankey. So in our office, I you know, on my Tableau server, I think I have 500 some views. We just built our first Sankey actually, and it's flow of inventory over time. How does inventory move from phase to phase through different cycles from different time periods to time periods? You know, you hit on a great point there is what I often see is somebody will come up with, you know, Brittany Fong came up with tile maps in Tableau, and then Matt Chambers turned that into a hex map. And then all of a sudden, you know, the Tableau public sphere is, you know, just proliferating hex maps everywhere. And then somebody comes up with the Sankey and then curvy lines everywhere. And then somebody comes up with something else. And what was lately was the triangle viz like that they were doing, you know, where they had the three dimensions and people were doing lots of those visualizations. And so, you know, I think that we can all get carried away. We all want to learn how to do those new techniques, but we have to be careful that we're just not because we have a hammer, right? It's the old saying, it's like every problem's a nail.
Like that saying.
The right tool for the job. And I think Sankeys or Sankey style can often be overused, I guess, in places that may not or should not be used.
Okay, that makes sense. So I completely agree. Each chart is subjective. Even a humble pie chart can sometimes have its use case, but we'll talk about that later. But I think with Sankeys, I think you're totally right. It's great for showing, I guess, flows of quantities, which may be going into different, I guess, stages as they progress. So, they shouldn't be used for everything. I agree. Like when I make one, I'm going to try and make a personal mission to make one. I'm going to have to make sure it has got a good use case and is applicable.
Yeah, and so. Flow. I mean, if you think about flow through a system, that's not an easy problem to solve. You're going to have to use some sort of maybe a network classification tree style or a network diagram of some sort where you really have to show stage one going to the, you know, the different stages and the quantity in each one of those. And if you're doing that over time, you know, you have to connect that in some way. It's not something that an 8-layered bar chart's it's not going to work well for something like that. It would take some, you know, creative design to really show that.
Yeah, no, totally. And you've just got me thinking, because I do encounter one quite a bit on my Google Analytics page, where it shows you like where people come to your site and then when they drop off or where they go to a second page. And you're right. There's no other way, no other chart could really hack that without it being a dense, confusing mess. So you're right. Yeah, that's good. I just thought of that. So that's cool. No, they do have a place.
You know, set actions now in Tableau would be a good solution. You know, you click on your bar and you can burst out your bars where it goes. And then you click on those bars and you can drill down now in a much easier fashion. That would be another solution, I guess.
Yeah, that's good. It's versatile. There's no like hard or fast rule, and it's good to have options. And the drill down in set actions is another good solution. No, it's good. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. So, where are we now? So the next question is actually, what skills did you learn? But I feel we've already covered that. But is there anything else you'd like to elaborate? Any extra skills you've learned and haven't mentioned yet?
I guess just on the skills, I would say two things. One, the process of the way I approach Tableau. And I think, you know, from the very beginning, it was probably Joe Mako who really instilled that in me, is to think of Tableau as an X and Y axis. And a canvas that you can draw on. And so if you really approach it that way, and Andy Kriebel and I did a year of the Dear Data postcards where we were hand drawing visualization on a postcard, you really start to not think of it as a, you know, a insert a chart like like Excel. You know, Tableau doesn't work like Excel, where you just highlight data and insert a chart. It's really just a canvas, and you draw, you know, marks on a canvas. And when you get in that mentality, then when you see curvy lines, you're like, okay, well, I can curve a line. That's just math, right? So, you know, if you want to make a line go up or down or sideways or around or in a circle. So all these, you know, crazy things that we see people build in Tableau that are like, wow, how did they do that? They're really just thinking of Tableau in sort of that canvas sort of way, right? You're just drawing on a canvas with math.
I do like that. And actually, you've made me realize too through this, I had a similar epiphany, but in a different way, where I have an old Viz where I literally animated like about 10 frames of this guy walking, but I saw it as, like a coordinate set of coordinates. So it's just like, okay, so the head squares need to be here on this frame, then here, then here. And then just use the page functionality. But I think that's the beauty of Tableau. It's so versatile. Once you stop, you're right. Once you stop thinking about it as just chart builder, there's a canvas. That's beautiful. I'm going to have to remember that one. That's amazing. Yeah. But then it opens your mind, and then you can do so much with it, like you're demonstrating with your work. So that's cool. Okay, I'm going to write it down. Tableau is a canvas. Thank you. Okay, so I think we're getting towards the end, but we have one end of this section. The final question on this is, you do so much great work, and I'm just going to, as I talk, I'm going to show your Tableau public library as we go, just because I encourage people to explore it. But what project is next for you? There's probably quite a few, but which ones would you talk about or recommend for now?
Yeah, I've been spending a lot of time with the 2019.2 beta. People are spending a lot of attention on the parameter actions, and that's certainly a hot feature on top of the set actions that we already have. But I've been spending a good bit of time with the mapping features, the new functions of make point and make line. So I've been having some fun with that. I've actually incorporated that. I downloaded the beta and did a project at work with that It had that was needed for what I was trying to do, and so it kind of solved a problem that I was dealing with. So I've been playing with that and have a couple blog posts in the works on that. Actually had a blog post in the works on the sigmoid and, when to use that versus maybe some other alternatives that would work better. We have Tableau conference coming up. So still trying to figure out speaker stuff for that. And this weekend I'm speaking at Measure Camp, which is an unconference where people kind of show up and talk about stuff. It's really a cool structure where anybody can sign up to speak. You just come with a presentation or you just speak on the fly. And so I'm going to try a new presentation that I haven't done on location mapping data. So I'm going to try that out this weekend and see how that goes. So that's my upcoming.
How exciting. No, that's really jam packed. And it sounds like a lot of that you're going to experience for yourself, contribute at those events, but it sounds like where you can, you're going to share that and like share any learnings with your audience through your website, which again, super inspiring. I am kind of jealous I don't get to go to some of those conferences, but I will hopefully, I'm going to plan on being at the Vegas conference this year. So hopefully I get to catch up and we can chat nerd out together in person. Thanks. And I've just found your energy bill. So it's really interesting. It's so much better than pie charts. Like it's just so much better. So note to my energy company, up your game. Okay, great. So we've reached that end. So we're going to get into rapid fire questions. And I'll do my best to keep my end short. But let's dive in. But it should be kind of fun. We'll be fun. Always have fun. So first off, we'll start with a bit of a light one. Pie charts. Love them or loathe them?
You know, I don't have any inherent hate for pie charts. It's just that most of the time it's not the best tool for the visualization. You know, it really, for me, it goes to those pre-attentive attributes, those building blocks. We're really good as humans at certain things, and the pie chart just doesn't have those things that we're good at. It kind of works on a map, there's not a whole lot of alternatives, and it can work when you're trying to show a true part-to-whole relationship. If I want to, Steve Wexler, my co-author, always says, well, you know, you need 50% of a vote to, you know, ratify. A pie chart will show you that. Are you more than 50% or are you not? But the problem is just most of the uses don't work. So I guess I'll say hate it.
Fair enough. No, it's good. But at least you had a considered response. It wasn't just like blind hate. It's like, on the whole, they kind of suck. Yeah, there's better options. Just on a side note, you just mentioned a co-author. So one of the links I'll put below, this is, you're referring to your Big Book of Dashboards. Is that correct?
Yeah, Big Book of Dashboards, which we published in April of 17, I think, and it's been great. My co-authors are fantastic: Steve Wexler of Data Revelations and Andy Cockreeve, who's a technical evangelist at. He's got the book right there.
Yeah.
Thank you. So Andy Cockreeve is the technical evangelist at Tableau, and it's been great. Steve's actually doing a workshop today in Omaha and has, I think, 40 people or something registered for that. So he's been active in the workshop front, and Steve and I do workshops around the dashboard, and it's been fun, and it was great working with those guys.
Yeah, no, it's a great book, and I'm just going to show off now. I'm super chuffed because I managed to get like a signed copy of all three authors. So.
Oh, wow. There's not many books that have all three signatures.
I'm very, very, very honored. So, you know, definitely worth getting that book. Again, not sponsored, hashtag not sponsored, but yeah, I highly recommend it. It's a good book. So, yeah. Okay, next question. What publications for DataViz do you regularly follow?
Yeah, I have a long list of blogs, and I'm not a big reader, so I don't sit and read books for enjoyment. I've not read a word of the Harry Potter or Game of Thrones or any of that stuff. Yeah. I only read to learn, and so I do a lot of consuming of information through blogs, online, DataViz books. I have try to have every book in the field, and so my shelf is pretty ridiculous. Always grabbing anything with the word data, visualization in the title, you'll at least sell one copy to me. And the blogs, I'm always following blogs and the Twitter activities. So I have a long list of blogs on my Tableau reference guide. I try to follow all of those on a regular basis.
Amazing. And for those of you who aren't aware, your Jeffrey's Tableau reference guide is just where you've just collected everything, and you share that out as a kind of great resource for people just to get inspired and follow other people. Is that correct?
Yeah, I try to update that quarterly. I think I'm due for an update here. People send me links of content, and people are blogging so fast that it always gets updated. So it went from 300 to 400 to 500 links, just within the last year. So yeah, now it has over 500 links. I try to make sure that they're all still active and relevant, and you can search and all of that. So hopefully that's a good resource for you.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. I'll have to ask you after this if I put this podcast on there.
Oh, absolutely. I should put a podcast thing on the blog, because there's enough podcasts now that it probably makes sense to have everybody's on there.
Totally. Cool. Yes. Yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you. Great. But I love that, because often we find guests go, there's far too many, which is a great problem to have, like in terms of just DataViz content online. But I love, you're the first person I've met who's like curated it, or at least found a way to surface it to people rather than emailing them 500 links. Yeah, it's just all in one place. So that's really great. Thank you for that.
Yeah, and it's hard to pick one or two, because everybody's putting out so much great content that's relevant that it really kind of just depends on the topic, right? If you need something, Ryan Sleeper's got a great blog, and Andy Kriebel and his tips, and there's so many people that have been blogging for so long, and then all of a sudden there's all these new bloggers that pop up that are doing great content. Kevin Flairledge, that you had on the podcast, he's been blogging just in the last year, and he's putting out some great content, and so totally. It's great to follow all that.
I keep harking on about the community, but it's so good that, like, it's not just a few people, it's like so many people come in, they give, everyone grows, and it just kind of is like self-perpetuating, self-growing kind of thing, which is really inspiring to see. I don't know many other software communities which have this in it, so this is another reason why I'm a big fan of Tableau. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's cool. Okay, cool. So next question is, what would be your number one tip or trick to give to Tableau newbies?
Yeah, well, I kind of said that in the first half, which is when I teach Tableau, I really talk a lot about the X and Y canvas, just thinking about, you know, your columns or your X axis, your rows or your Y axis, you're putting blue and green pills on there, that you're show me menu is, you know, I do 2 days of beginner training and 2 days of advanced training. And I use the show me menu maybe once just to show why it doesn't work on a, you know, certain chart. Mm. So it really is, you know, I like to say the show me menu is a pill pusher. All it does is push pills around your canvas. And so you just learn where these pills go. It's your rows, your columns, and your marks card. And so the tip, I guess, is more just about learning how that Tableau engine works, because that's where I think people will really understand Tableau to create those things more than just the little tips and tricks that will make your life easier.
No, that's really good, because I guess, if you rely on Show Me, it's kind of good for certain things, shortcuts to learn to start. But yeah, I think if you don't understand what goes into that, then into the pill pusher, I like that too. it's better to learn and build from scratch. I guess it's like buying a takeout versus making your own food, right? It's kind of, you get way more out of it. You control it.
Yeah, well, then and people look at the show me and think, okay, well, these are the charts the Tableau can make. And that's not true at all, right? I mean, in Excel, that's true. But in Tableau, that's not true. So it's a little different, right? I mean, everybody kind of creates hacks. You can hack Excel to do, you know, weird chart types. But in the Tableau world, anything you can draw on that canvas, you can really make.
Yeah, like the biggest limit is your imagination or creativity. So yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, cool. What is your favorite chart type? It can be Sankey's, but do you have a favorite chart type?
You know, I really don't, because I guess I approach the data as what chart type would best try to visualize this data for what I'm trying to show. I guess I would say I feel like people don't use dot plots enough. That they're versatile, right? We're really, really good at position and seeing that one dot is a little further from another. So precise comparisons are very good with that. It's really good at showing individual points where a bar chart aggregates, you know, by default, where, you know, a dot plot can show those individual points. So I feel like for solving problems, a dot plot is not used as much as it probably could be, whether it's, you know, in a jittered way or in an organized way, in a sort of, I like a unit histogram where you organize the dots in a distribution sort of way, or just a plain old dot plot. All of those things I think could be used more.
Yeah, no, it's often a less loved one, but definitely has a lot of versatility. So that's a good one. Yeah, it's good you're championing that. Right, so here's an interesting question I like to ask my guests. So you're really good with Tableau, but are there any other tools or software that you use in conjunction or into your workflow?
Yeah, so I find myself in all kinds of tools at the office. We do a lot of PowerPoint. We do a lot of presentations where we're putting stuff in PowerPoint. So I spend a good bit of time in there. On my blog, I don't use WordPress. I've had bad experience with that and other platforms for blogging. So I spend everything on my blog, everything on my website is all me coding. So I spend a good bit of time in HTML, and, you know, all my blog posts are just coded in HTML and JavaScript and whatnot. So I spend a good bit of time in that. And then I do end up in Adobe Illustrator a lot. For the book as an example, you know, I think we had over 300 images in our book, and over half of them were done in Adobe Illustrator. So I would take a chart and take it from Tableau to like that one. I would take it from Tableau to PDF, and then PDF into Adobe Illustrator, and then Illustrator is the file I would send to the publisher. So we would have a vector graphic. I do a lot of that at the office as well. So I was the only of the three co-authors, I was the only one with Adobe Illustrator. So I ended up doing all of that. But I spend a good bit of time in that as well. Certainly not an expert in it, but know my way around enough to do what I need to do.
That's good though. Like you said, it's different tools for the right job, and Illustrator is a great one, especially for vector graphics, which can just scale ad hoc, like indefinitely, which that's good to hear you use that. I do a bit too. And yeah, really, really interesting you write the code for your own website, because I use WordPress, and the amount of times I've tweaked one thing and accidentally locked myself out, I like playing around on the back end. So yeah, it's... Yeah. I would love to know.
I've done a good bit in R. When I was taking data mining, that was all in R. At our office, we've kind of moved to more Python. We do a lot of the machine learning things in Python. And I do a little bit of Python, but I actually was doing Python before R, but I'm more familiar with R. So I probably do more things in R than I would in Python.
That's fair enough. It's it's been on my bucket list to learn, because I see this huge value. So it's great to see that someone like you is, you know, using it and like pushing yourself to learn even more. So see more reason to get into that. It's great.
Yeah, and cool. We use SQL. Our SQL is our database, so naturally we're pulling data from SQL. So Kevin and who you've had on the podcast, and Danushki and our data scientists, they're all regularly using SQL, and so I do a lot of that too. Not my favorite thing in the world, but I, you know, you do it because you need to pull data, right? So
yeah, it's like a means to an end. It's I'm with you there. Like it, you can be okay, like you can be good at it, but it's not always the passion, right? Yeah. Just give me the raw material. Let me analyze it in Tableau or something. Yeah, cool. Here's an interesting one. So you've been using Tableau for a while. So what was your first version of Tableau?
Yeah, so I saw that question on your list, and so I didn't know, actually. I kind of remembered maybe downloading Tableau 5, but on my computer, I found the install file to Tableau 6. And so Tableau Public 6.0, and I sent you a screenshot of that of that install.
I'll put it up.
Screen. That was, I think, the first one, at least on my laptop. I had my old files, and that was the oldest one I could find. Wow. I will say that I didn't really use it a lot until version 7. So version 7 was the one that I remember using the most. And so that's when I really started using it. So I probably downloaded 5 to look at it, downloaded 6 and probably was using it periodically. But 7 was when I came all in.
Wow, that's amazing. I think 6 is the oldest version I've had on the podcast so far. So that's really impressive. And if you were sort of dabbling in 5, that's, wow, I can't imagine what it would look like by then. So
yeah, they look very different. Even 6 looks so different. Yeah, and you can't, I mean, just the things that we have today, you take for granted. It's, there was no, you know, you talk about level of detail calculation or context filters, you know, that was versions and versions away, but you couldn't do floating tiles. Everything was tiled on your canvas. There was no such thing as a floating object, you know? So yeah.
Oh, goodness. And I think I had Eva on last, the episode which is about to air, and she was mentioning one of the, in the older versions, like the canvas was gray. So she was actually like, oh wait, I can't interact with that. Like, it seems like it's like turned off. So I would have made that same judgment, but now they made it white. Like, oh, it's canvas, I can draw on it. Yeah, so it's small things, but it's great to see Tableau's constantly getting better and better and listening to people. So yeah, awesome. Okay, so speaking of Tableau making features, what's the number one feature you would like Tableau to implement, which they haven't already?
Yeah, I saw that question on your list too, and that's such a hard one to pick. You know, it's like, what's your favorite child, right? I have so many feature requests. I would love to be able to do curvy lines without doing functions like the sigmoid function that we talked about. Where you have a path or a line, insert a function. I would love to have be able to use web fonts in Tableau, where I wasn't stuck publishing fonts and not sure how they would render on the client, being able to pull from a web font. The old dynamic parameters, Hooperized parameters that the old timers will call it, just being able to do that without, without having to do the hacks that we have today or some of the feature, you know, there are... there are extensions and things like that that'll be able to do that, but just making it easy to do stuff like that. But I will say the features that Tableau has come out with have, just think about every release. set actions, you know, just kind of flew under the radar. It comes out, and then you just look at the power of a feature like that, what you can now do in Tableau that you couldn't do before with this just one feature of many, many, many features that they're doing. So hats off to Francois and the team who are just cranking through these things and just killing it, putting out feature after feature. It's really awesome.
Totally. Yeah. I think it's great when a company's biggest issue is trying to communicate every single amazing thing they've done. Like Sections was great, like proportional brushing, that like you mentioned earlier, that so where you can expand just on one segment inside a bar chart or something is amazing. And again,
well, they have features they don't even talk about that never even come up. You know, in the new version of, I don't even know what version of Tableau it started, but when you look at your thumbnails on the opening page, if you hover your mouse over, the thumbnail changes, you know, as you move through the image and it goes from sheet to sheet or dashboard to dashboard of your viz. And I don't ever remember that talked about. I go in Tableau one day and I'm moving my mouse and I'm like, hey, that's changing. And I just never knew that.
I'm going to have to go check that out afterwards. I didn't even notice that. But that would be kind of cool because you can kind of scrub and go, well, that is the viz I want. If there's like,
exactly. Oh,
that's genius. Okay. Yeah. I've learned something new today. Or another new thing. This is amazing. Cool. Okay. Great. Yeah. Perfect. So we've reached the end now, Jeffrey. So thank you so much for your time. But before we say goodbye to everyone, is there anything else you'd like to either mention or talk about or promote? Because it's been great having you here.
Thank you very much for doing this. And, you know, it's a great podcast. There's a lot more blogs out there than podcasts. So you're one of the pioneers here on, you got the Tableau Wannabe podcast and Cole's Storytelling with Data and, Steve Wexler and I started Chart Chat, but, this is great that, you're doing this and thank you and keep it up. It's awesome content. I enjoy it every time.
Thank you. That's great. That's great to hear. And, it means a lot. Thank you. Perfect. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much.
Okay, so that's it for this episode. Thanks for listening. And be sure to check out the show notes for everything we've covered today. And if you're new to the podcast, consider subscribing to stay up to date on the latest episodes. And also visit datasaurus-rex.com/welcome to see all of the other data visualization content we have to help you out. Till the next time, thank you. And thank you, Jeffrey.
Thank you.